sure that this thing on.
Gabe, that was outstanding. I hope I don't mess it up. You know, after something like that, we just need to get along somewhere, don't we? Just think about that. Man, that was good. I have thoroughly enjoyed the past few days. I mean, I can't not tell you. It's been encouragement to my heart. It's always a blessing to meet, wherever you go, to meet God's people, people that you've never met before. But we have one thing in common. We come from different backgrounds, different states. But one thing we have in common, it's Him. As you said, to those that believe, He is precious. Not to everybody, but to those that believe He's precious. Know how precious He is. Thank you for everything you've done. And Clay and Melinda, what we enjoyed yesterday evening just sitting there. There's nothing like just sitting down with believers and just fellowshipping. You know, we do have something in common. We do. It's Him. And what a blessing it is. You know, it's a blessing that God gave us each other. It's a blessing that we can gather here this morning. What a blessing. And worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He draws our affections toward Him. And as you said, we continually keep falling upon Him. We fall upon His breast and in His arms. Turn with me, I want to read one verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. I was just turning, and I had not planned it this way because I was mainly just focusing on this verse. A lot of times I'll go back and read the verses before, but I didn't. It's amazing, the beginning of this chapter, he says, "Comfort ye, my people." And I pray that's what He does today. And our scripture will be, "He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and shall carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." There are so many pictures of our Lord in the Scriptures. Gabe just preached one about Him being the chief cornerstone. That's such a picture. And many other pictures, Him and the physician and saving us sick souls. But to me personally, one of the most precious is the picture of Jesus Christ as the shepherd of His sheep. To me it is. And that's what I want to try to look at today. As I thought about this, I preached a message similar to this several years ago at Crossville. And it was, to me, it's one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest compliments I ever received as a preacher. There was an 11-year-old boy. Came up. And he says, "Mr. Mike, I understand what you said." That was, God did that. You know what? And that's amazing. Amazing. All through the Scriptures, He set forth as the shepherd. David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd of sheep. And you know the first time the word sheep is used in the Scriptures? I thought this was ironic. Abel was a keeper. A keeper. He was a shepherd of sheep. Isn't that kind of ironic? Not Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. He saw something in those sheep. He saw someone in that sheep. He saw Christ, and he believed. Gabe looked at, a little bit the other day, Psalms 22. And in that psalm, we read that psalm, and we can see our Lord upon the cross. And there He is pictured as the good shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. Then Psalms 23. Oh, that great psalm. Most everybody just know it because somebody recites it at a funeral. "The Lord is my shepherd. What more could I want?" And He set forth as the great shepherd. Listen, in Hebrews 13:20, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. And who was that that God raised from the dead? The great shepherd of the sheep. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. And then he set forth in Psalms 24, "Open up ye gates, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Well, who is that King of glory? It's the Lord of hosts. And he set forth as the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and listen to me, one day, sheep, he's coming. He's going to appear as the shepherd of the sheep. You shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I want to spend a few moments and just talk to you and just bring out a few characteristics of the shepherd that set forth Christ's work in the redemption of his people. If it was not for a shepherd, all the sheep would perish. Every one of them. What's the main thing that a sheep needs? I'll tell you exactly what it is. They need a shepherd. You know why you have a shepherd? Because they're sheep. Our Lord said in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, "And Jesus, when he was come out, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd." Needy, helpless sheep. Christ our Lord is the surety of his sheep. Did you know all the responsibility for all the sheep of all time was laid upon his shoulders? To me, one of the greatest pictures of this is when John 18, when our Lord was in Gethsemane, and they're coming to take him. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Here's what he said. "If you seek me, you let these go their way. If you've come to take me, you can't have them." Why? "Because those which were given unto me," here's what he said, "I have lost none." It's laid upon his shoulders. He's the surety of the sheep. If that shepherd, if our Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, if he loses one sheep, he's a failure. If he loses one sheep, you're looking at one that he would lose. Secondly, the shepherd knows all of his sheep by name. If you're here this morning, in this vast multitude, if you're his sheep, he knows you by name. You say, "Well, how, preacher, will I know if I'm one of his sheep?" When he calls you, you'll know. That's how you'll know. He said, "I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Also, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Like that story you told, that man was one of his sheep. And one day that man heard. He didn't just hear facts. He didn't just hear doctrine. He heard the shepherd. That's what salvation is. It's when you hear him speak. As Kevin said yesterday, as I tried to preach, he said, "You must have been in the military or something." And I said, "No." He said, "It's like you was just preaching to me." That's how God works. He's speaking to his sheep. Whatever you need, whatever that sheep needs, at that moment in time, he ministers to that need. And he speaks to them. Explain it. I can't. But if you're a sheep, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Why? Because you've heard his voice. So, and children, you're going to say, "Well, what does it sound like?" Someone in our church a while back said, "It's louder than any audible voice you've ever heard." I do know this. If he ever speaks to you, you'll know it. You'll know it. He called Peter, James, and John, and they followed him. They forsook everything. Why? They were sheep. And another one I thought about was Samuel. And I really thought about this when you were talking about preaching to children. You remember Samuel's mother, Hannah, she prayed for a son, and She prayed, and God granted her that request. She was barren and couldn't have children. Well, then when she got Samuel, she said, "Lord, I'm going to give him back to you, because he's yours anyway." And she took him to the temple, and Eli was, he was working with Eli in the temple. And he lay down one night, and it said, "The Lord called Samuel." And he answered, "Here am I." Well, then he called again. When he called, he runs to Eli. He thinks it's Eli's calling him. Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." And he said, Eli did have enough sense to say, "Well, if he calls again, you say, 'Here, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" I pray, every one of you, that one day God would speak to you and call your name. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" When he come to Lazarus' grave, who was one of his sheep, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." When he rose from the dead, you know what he said to his little sheep standing outside the sepulcher? "Mary?" She said, "Rabboni, that's my master, that's my shepherd." But then in Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verse 7, now listen to this. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. You know, it's amazing. God called one time, isn't it? But three times. And he rose and he went to Eli as he'd done before. And he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto him, he gave him this advice, "Go and lay down. And it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down, like he did before, in the place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times. And he said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, said, "Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth." He calls his sheep. Thirdly, he not only is the surety of the sheep and calls his sheep, he feeds his sheep. Here we see in our text, Isaiah 40, verse 11, the first thing he says, "He shall feed his flock." Now that word "feed" refers more to just feeding. It means to take care of the sheep, to tend to the sheep, to guard the sheep, to govern the sheep, and to provide everything that the sheep need. That's what it means to feed them. Everything. Everything. When the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, you know what that was? That's his sheep. How's God going to feed all them sheep? He said, "Well, I'm going to rain manna down from heaven. And I'm going to feed them every one for 40 years. There's going to be water from the rock. That's my sheep. It's my sheep." There in Psalms 23, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know why a sheep lays down in green pastures? Well, first of all, green means that they're life. And you know why they like green pastures? That's their life. Christ is the green pastures. That's what they feed upon. And you know why a sheep lays down? It's content. It's happy. I don't want to be anywhere else. Right here. My shepherd led me here, and I'm going to eat what he's given me, and I'm just going to lay down. He leads us beside the still water. Still water. How does our Lord feed his sheep? If you're his sheep, how is God going to feed you? I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 3:15. You look at this verse. You need to underline this verse. You need to put it to memory. How does he feed his sheep? "I will give you pastures." You know what that word pastor is? It's a shepherd. "I will give you grace. I will give you pastures according to mine heart." You think about that. That man right there is a gift to his church. When He was raised and ascended up, He gave gifts unto men. He gave, and it's a gift. No man can do this on his own. You don't know what they need, but God does. And you know what He does? The pastor, He feeds the sheep with knowledge and with understanding. Sandy bought me a sign. I'm always telling something on Sandy. One day she's going to skin my head. But she bought me a sign last year at Christmas, and I've got me a little shop out there where I work and piddle around. And it says, I can explain it to you, but I cannot understand it for you. And that's what you do. I can try by God's grace to explain what God is saying about feeding His sheep and sending you a pastor. But only God can give you the understanding of what it is. Life will need... I understand. Used to it didn't make any sense. Boy, I understand now. And age has nothing to do with it. A 7-year-old child can understand just as much as a 70-year-old man can understand. Age has no difference. It's all rest upon the shepherd. He said, I'm going to give them pastors. I was so thankful when Gabe went to Kingsford. And you know what? God, you know what He's doing? You know what His responsibility is? What His responsibility is, what my responsibility is to feed God's sheep. And if you see Him, you'll be fed. You remember what our Lord told Peter? Now you think about Peter. He was up and down. He denied our Lord 3 times. But when He rose from the grave, he told them when they were going to go, He said, you go back and tell them to meet me at Galilee and I'll meet them there. He said, oh, be sure, you tell Peter. Don't forget to tell Peter. Then He comes and Peter denied Him 3 times and He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. Here's what Peter said. I thought this was ironic in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Preaching is one of the most difficult things in the world. Like you said, trying to prepare, and you go, and to seek, what does God want for today? I've had the greatest struggle. I thought, well, I should preach this yesterday. Well, then maybe I'll preach it this morning. You know, you go, how do you know? I don't know. I wish you would tell me. But I know this. He makes you willing. I know this. I would rather do what I'm doing right now than anything in this world. That ain't because I'm not much of a preacher. I know that. But He makes you willing. You want to more than anything in this world. He is my life, and this is my life. Everything in my life has led up to this point. I have nightmares. I think I'm going to preach, and I'm going looking for my notes, and I don't have any. I'm going to preach, and I don't even have a text. I don't know if y'all have them or not. It's just terrifying. But He said, feed the flock which are among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. The shepherd loves the sheep. You know, in that great chapter of John 10, we talked about, I'm the shepherd of the sheep, I know my sheep. But then He gives the illustration of a hireling. He said, he that is a hireling. Now, what is a hireling? Break it down. It's somebody that's hired to keep the sheep. Now, you think with me. Okay, you're out here in a big pasture, and over here at the edge of the pasture is a big thicket of woods.
And that hireling, he sees, he's out here paid to watch the sheep. And where he sees a wolf or something coming out of the woods, you know what he says? You can forget this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm not risking my life for those bunch of sheep. And he runs. Why did he run? He's a hireling. He's a hireling. They see the wolf coming and they lead the sheep and they flee and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeing because he's a hireling and he doesn't care for the sheep. Shepherds love the sheep. Love them. The fourth thing he does, I love this right here, he gathers the lambs with his arm. The lambs, I think, are the weak ones. Well, that includes all of us. You know what you are? You are just a weak, frail lamb. And he says he gathers them. I can see the shepherd as he comes by. I can see him stoop down and pick up that little lamb, and he picks it up. And he gathers them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. How in the world did we gather here this morning? I don't know how many they were of you when y'all started meeting before you came their pastor. How did that happen? God began to gather, and God's still gathering them. Isn't that amazing? To me, that's amazing. Don't get over being amazed at God's grace. Why would God gather you here? What makes you to differ? I tell you what makes you to differ. He makes you to differ because you're His sheep. He knows where you were at, and any time He gathered you with His arm, He said, come on, little sheep. And you didn't even know what was going on. He gathers us when we wander, prone to wander, Lord, we feel it, prone to leave the God we love. He gathers us when we fall. Did he gather Peter? Yeah, he said, don't forget Peter. When it just come to my mind, did he gather Lot? You think about Lot. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He winds up in Sodom. And then these five kings come and take everybody in Sodom captive. And Abraham gets some men, I think 300 men, and they go and they get Lot. The only reason everybody else was spared and the only reason the goods was brought back was for Lot. But you think about this. You would have thought that a man had been spared from that he wouldn't go back and live in Lot. You know what he did? Live in Sodom. He goes right back and lives in Sodom. But he's still one of his sheep. And God sent an angel to go down there and take him out of that place. You know why? That's one of his sheep. He gathered him and brought him out. He said, we can't do nothing as long as you're here. You know, as I thought about this, you know what? There could be many definitions of a church, but I thought the true definition of a church is a gathering of sheep. As we come up the road this morning, we sing the Lutheran Church and the Methodist Church and all those other subcultures. They're not churches. They may be some sheep in there. They may be some lost sheep in there. But a church is where God gathers His sheep. He gathers His people together. You didn't gather yourself here. It says, as a hen doth gather her biddies, she gathers her biddies. The Lord gathers His people. And as I thought about this, I want to show you an example of what happens when men gather themselves together. And that's what most of what's going on in religion is they gather. We're going to get us a gathering. We're going to get all these people together and we're going to just gather together. Okay. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses is up on the mountain. God's given him the law. God's given him the instructions for the tabernacle. And it said, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves together. And this is how it always works. And they said unto Aaron, make us gods. Small G-O-D. Which shall go before us, for as this Moses, you know who that Moses was? That was God's shepherd. Where is this Moses? Where's he at?
For this Moses, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. So you know what Aaron did? He made him a golden calf. And that's exactly what happens when men in their depraved nature want to have a gathering. They're going to worship all false gods. They don't worship the shepherd. Something else, he gathers them with his arm. And he carries them in his bosom. I can see the little sheep. He comes along and it's probably, it may be caught in a thicket or something. And he reaches down and he picks it up and he pulls it to its breast. And you know what happens when he's carrying it in his arms? He's hand feeding it. Hand feeding it. How long will he carry that lamb? How long has he carried you? Well, he's carried you for all eternity. But listen, in Isaiah 46, verse 4. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. When you didn't even know you was a sheep, he carried you. I know everybody's seen that little thing people put up on the wall called footprints. Footprints in the sand. At the worst, you know, part of your life, there was only one set of footprints and he was carrying you. There's only ever been one set of footprints. And that was his. But you think about that. How precious to lay on his breast, in his bosom, near his heart. That's a safe place. And as I thought about this, you remember in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, they both died and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Well, what about Lazarus? Who is Lazarus? I'll tell you who he is. He was one of the Lord's sheep. And here's what he said. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham. Bosom. That's what he does when his sheep die. He comes and gets them and carries them into Christ's bosom. We sung the song yesterday, I am his and he is mine. And I'll read a couple lines from that song. Now listen, that which once were wild alarms, I used to be afraid of dying. It's the consequences and everything after death. Things that once were wild or long. I was afraid of the law. Terrifying. It cannot disturb my rest. Closed in his everlasting arms. Pillowed on his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here. I wish I could just stay right there. Doubts and care and self-resign. While he whispers in my ear, I am his. I'm his, and he is mine. Fear not, little flock. You don't have to fear anything. The shepherd's the only one that can relieve you of your fears. Fears. I thought about John, and here's how it described it. John, that wrote John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples. It didn't say whom John loved. It said who Jesus loved. Laying right there. Something else. He shall gently lead those who are with young. He is so tender. He is so gentle. Sheep don't lead themselves. We don't know the way. You remember when Jacob comes and he has to face Esau? Esau wants him to go with him. And Jacob has a whole herd of sheep. And a bunch of those sheep have little lambs. They're weak. They're frail. And he said unto him, he said unto Esau, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender. And the flocks and the herds with young are with me. If men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. He knew how to care for the sheep. The Lord knows how to care for you. Psalms 23, once this, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because You're with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd is responsible for the sheep. He knows them by name. He feeds them. He gathers them. He carries them. And He gently leads them. Well, why does He do this? Because He loves the sheep. Now I want to give you a few characteristics of the sheep, and you'll know why He does all that. The sheep. They respond to their environment and everything that's around them. Things happen and they just get scared to death. And our Lord understands His sheep. He remembers that we're just dust. We're just dust. First thing, sheep flock together. Why do sheep flock together? It's their nature. They will run when they're frightened. They will run and band together. Why? That's their only protection. They don't have claws. They don't have big teeth. How are they going to defend themselves? They band together. Isn't that amazing? Because they need each other. And as I thought about this, I thought about, now you picture this, the disciples. Our Lord is He died. He died upon the cross to put away sin. Then He rested on the Sabbath day. Now it's the first day of the week, and He told them that He would raise from the dead. Can you imagine what's going on in their mind? They are terrified. They are a bunch of little sheep that are just scared to death. And it said in John 20, Mary Magdalene came. The Lord revealed Himself to Mary Magdalene and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that He had spoken these things unto her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the door was shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews. Why are they gathering together? Isn't it amazing how God has created His people in such a way when danger comes, we run together. Isn't that amazing? And well, listen, you imagine how they fear, just terrified. And Jesus came and stood in the midst, and He said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when He had so said, He showed them His hands. And decide. This is not like Thomas, when Thomas said, "I won't believe till I see Him." Our Lord just, you know what? He, you know what reassured them? You know what those marks are? Those marks are the marks of the Good Shepherd, who gave His life for the sheep. Then were the disciples glad? They're not afraid now. Many times we come in and we're so terrified. Why are we afraid? God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. But we're terrified. We're scared to death, and we need each other. And Christ manifests Himself, and then we're glad. Sandy told me last night, she said, "Man, I've enjoyed this weekend. All the stress, all the worries are gone." Now, about tomorrow, they'll be right back there. And you know why you may meet if it's Wednesday or Thursday? You know why you'll meet? Because you need each other. That's our protection. Come and say, "Clay, tell me again about my shepherd." Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, Even so have I sent you. How has he sent you? As lambs in the midst of wolves. But don't be afraid. And then sheep. Now they follow other sheep. I don't follow those sheep. Oh yeah, you do. You remember what? I remember the statement Don made the other night when he told your pastor. He said, you know, to go sit under Marvin Stoniker and get in his hip pocket and listen to him. And what he's doing, he's following him. His example, as he preached the gospel. But let me give you an illustration. We not only follow good things, we can follow bad things. I read something where, I think it was back in 2006, this one sheep walked off a cliff and 600 more went over with it. You say, oh, that wouldn't happen to a believer. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 13, you remember when Peter came to Galatia? Here's what he said. And other Jews dissembled likewise with him. That means that they were carried away by what he was doing. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried about with their dissimulations. You know what he's doing? He's looking at Peter and he said, well, Peter must be right. God help us to follow our shepherd. I'll tell you this. You may not think about it, and I know we're just human beings saved by God's grace, but somebody watches you. Somebody watches you. You may not think they do, but they do. Your neighbors, they see you get up on Sunday morning and come to church. They see you get up and come on Wednesday night. They do. So sheep follow other sheep. I can see them standing out there in the field, and one's grazing, and this one starts walking on, so I'm going to walk with him. Then sheep are very social creatures. I run across these things, and I thought it blessed me, and I pray it is a help for you. They said, when sheep are grazing, they need to see other sheep. When they see other sheep, this relieves them of their stress. And I can see that. We live in a day and age, and I made mention a little bit the other night about the technology and things that God has given us. And there would be people listening to these messages, and that's fine. But I can tell you this. There is no substitute for meeting with God's people. I mean, it's great to put in a CD. I mean, that's great. I'm thankful we have those things. But if it's where you can, every time the door's open, you need to meet with God's people. They become agitated if separated from the rest of the flock. A sheep or a lamb that is isolated from the rest of the flock is likely shows early signs of illness. Even the last sheep that comes into the fold at the end of the day may not be feeling well if that sheep's usually the first one in the fold. I've heard, I don't know how many people say, one of the first steps of apostasy, of people falling away, is they begin to neglect the worship of God. So it just happens one time. Well, then there's another time. Then they have their senses, their sight, their hearing, their smell. They are able to smell and taste and touch. Sheep depend highly upon their sight. But they have poor depth perception. They have a problem picking out small details such as an open space created by a partial gate. You know, they said, don't that picture us? Our depth perception is not real good. They tend to avoid shadows and sharp contrast between light and dark. They are reluctant to go where they cannot see. We want to see. Let me tell you an illustration. Before I went to West Virginia, I was pastor of the church in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina for 18 years. And I felt like the Lord would have us to go to West Virginia. We'd went and preached to them for several times over a couple of years. And we went, and one of the men in the church, we were staying with them that Saturday night, was sitting out on his porch, and he said, "Mike, the men in the church want me to ask you if you'd be their pastor." And I'm terrified. I said, "How do you know? Would you like to answer that for me? How would you know? How do you know?" And he said, "Mike, sometimes you don't know till you do. We want to see everything. And we have to walk. If my shepherd's leading me, I walk by faith." He leads us through the valley of the shadow. You imagine, them shadows terrify us. I saw an illustration, it's been several months ago. I was outside working, and Sandy comes out the side door of our house, and the sun's getting ready to go down, so the shadows are very long. When she comes out and the sun hits her back, it looks like she's 30 feet long. A lot of times we see shadows and they distort things. You see what I'm saying? And that's how we see things. Then they're hearing. They're frightened by loud noises, by yelling or barking of dogs. You know, and believers, you know where there's just a mess going on and people always complaining and griping and there's always something going on, somebody keeping something stirred up. Sheep don't like that. We don't. We like it calm. And I thought about the barking dogs. He said, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And then their smell. They have a great sense of smell. They know how to smell the enemy. "We have an unction from the Holy One and know all things. If it were possible, they would deceive the very elect." He enabled you. I've said, you ever heard something say, "I just don't know, there's just something wrong about that"? You know what they're talking about? They're talking more about the sheep than they are the shepherd. It's all about him. And then they touch each other. And they said that where sheep gather together and touch each other, they're calmer. And I can see that. God has gathered us here for a reason. And he watches over us. He takes care of us. Then lastly is the taste. Do you know healthy sheep? You know how to tell healthy sheep? They want to eat. They want to eat. You know why you're here this morning? You're hungry. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is made sweet. We don't know much about being hungry. We just eat because we like it. But I mean, you really got hungry. I mean, you're hungry. When you sit down, I guarantee you don't care whether it's on a paper plate or with a plastic fork. That don't matter. All you're interested in is what's on the plate. Oh, that we would come to the house of God with a hunger and a thirst for Him. Someone said they're most always hungry. And a lack of an appetite is a symptom of a sick sheep. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I pray if you're his, that he would comfort your heart. And I pray if you're his and you're a lost sheep, I pray that he would speak to you and he would keep speaking. And he won't stop till he gets you. You don't want to come, but he makes you willing. Amen.